Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to episode 95 of A Wild Podcast Has Appeared. We are just 5 weeks away from the big 100.
I know, we're so close to 100. What a way.
Who would have thought? Who would have thought?
Clearly not hosts.
I'm one of your hosts, Jim Viscardi. As always, I am joined by Christian Hoffer, and Megan Peters is back in the saddle. We are ready to talk about all of the big news that we got last week and then some. This is a Pokemon podcast. If you have stumbled onto this show and you are not a Pokemon fan, well, this show may not be for you. But if you are a Pokemon fan, this is 1000% for you, because we catch you up on all the news you need to know in a given week. Then what we do is we break down some of that stuff and explain to you why it's important, with things you should look out for, things you shouldn't look out for, etc. And then at the very, very end, you get a Pokemon fact of the week to make you a better, smarter Pokemon fan. You guys ready to get into it?
Sure. So yes.
Okay. Yes. We're going to get into the big breakdown stuff, obviously, after the break. So in the back half of the show, because we still have some regular news to go through. Some Pokemon Go news has hit. So why don't we start there? Season of Legends.
Yes, there is the Seasons of Legends has started almost everywhere around the world. This is our second season. Pokemon Go is doing these themed seasons, and the second one is Season of Legends. As its name suggests, it sounds like we're going to get a lot of legendary Pokemon. We're definitely getting the Therian forms of Tornadus, Thundurus, and Landorus, which is great because, you know, quite frankly, those are the cool-looking versions of those Pokemon.
Yes.
I freaking hate, the identical genies. I've never been able to stand them. In fact, I did not play Black and White when it first came out, because I was like, those Pokemon annoy me. They their faces just are obnoxious. In addition to that, obviously we're getting a bunch of changeover in what Pokemon are appearing and where. Everything from, up here in the Northern Hemisphere, we're getting Pokemon like Tangela, Kobe, Krogunk, Ducklet, Turtwig, Chimchar, Piplup, Scyther, Dratini, Cottonee, different eggs. We're getting some events that are coming up here. Jeez, I totally forgot. They announced the March events. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be a thing. So we got a full season, a full month of events. They fixed the March research breakthrough. You know, I've been complaining about that for weeks. We're finally getting a good Pokemon out of those, Gible, which a lot of people still do not have, because it is a moderately rare Pokemon. It's no Riolu, but it's a lot of people do not have it unless they did one of the events that got it a special research. Let's see here. What else? So much Pokemon Go stuff. I mean, it's as if they did a announcement dump to coincide with Pokemon Week or something.
Yeah, did something happen?
Yeah, I know.
Did I miss something when I was off last week? I'm very confused.
Okay, but here's the thing, though. I would have, I know the Kanto celebration was the week before, right? And so that, so that happened. But I would have liked something else that felt a bit more special for Saturday, right? Because we had the raids event. We had the raids event, and to be fair, was that Saturday or was that yesterday?
That was yes.
Yeah,
that was Saturday. I think it was Saturday.
Or was the weekend, if anything.
It was the
All
full
I know
weekend.
Is I managed to get a Moltres and a Zapdos, so now I have all the legendary birds, and I'm fine with that. But I feel like we could have either gotten, I don't know, something. Just a little something. Or hats, right? Give me the party hat Pikachu again. I don't care.
I do not want the party hat Pikachu.
Or like party hat something, or like even like a t-shirt. Like they could have like released like a nice little like Pokemon t-shirt of Pikachu wearing the 25th anniversary logo. Like just something.
Guys, yeah. I mean,
just something cute.
We had Pokemon Go Tour literally a week ago. And
not satisfied.
Obviously they did that event to kick off Pokemon Week. because probably the Pokemon company told them, no, you cannot steal the show or try to steal our thunder on Pokemon Day. I don't disagree, but let's be realistic here. That is likely, you know, what's going on, you know, what was going on there. They had to do their big event before Pokemon Go, or before the Pokemon company did their thing. So, you know, but let's see here. As an FYI, because I always kick myself if I forget to mention it, March Community Day is this coming Saturday, March 6th. So it features Fletchling, you know, with Talonflame and Incinerate and all that jazz. Some upcoming events. We'll talk more about these in the coming weeks, because God knows we will need some Pokemon content to fill out the slow times. But we've got a Searching for Legends event coming out. We've got an Incense Day. We've got some weather-themed stuff. We've got an electric-type thing where some new Pokemon will be appearing. So lots of different events, lots of cool stuff going on in Pokemon Go. Just a ton of stuff.
I'm excited for it. Look, like I said, the Kanto event, I think, like, really kind of helped get me a bit more back into it than I had been. I had been a little bit I come and go with Pokemon Go, right? And there, no pun intended there, whatever. But like at the same time, it's one of those things where I really enjoyed the Kanto celebration, and you know, I didn't even get to I through my own fault did not get to finish some of the collection quest things, right? Like I missed my I had an opportunity to get a Mr. Mime in a raid, and I wasn't able to get it, and so whatever, that's fine. But I just had a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to it seems like the updates, to me at least, feel like they're coming a bit more faster or a bit more frequently. And I just can't tell if that was more, that may have just been because it maybe lead up to Pokemon Day and stuff like that. And so that's why we got more. So hopefully we get kind of this like steady drip a bit to doing this. And I'll be here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, it was, like I said, I think they deliberately took a pause for Pokemon Week to make sure that Pokemon fans didn't get kind of overwhelmed with everything else that was going on. But, you know, I think that March and April will be good months for Pokemon Go fans. I think that's just the best way of putting it.
I mean, April, obviously, because Snap.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's
I mean, come on. That is like literally, I have a countdown clock on my phone for that. I'm waiting, watching. So ready for it. So for sure.
I love it. All right. Who watched the Post Malone concert?
I did indeed watch the Post Malone concert.
Definitely consumed that media. I've got to admit, I was more impressed with it than I thought I was going to be. I thought that the scenery backgrounds and like how it changed from like the different Pokemon landscapes and you know, biomes was pretty cool. It was way more interactive in that way than I thought. I just, every time, like it would switch between biomes when you watched it. And so like the animated Post Malone was like sitting on this like floating island going around the Pokemon regions and worlds. It just reminded me of Super Smash Brothers. And all I wanted was like at the end of it to be like, Post Malone has been invited to Smash. And that was like one of the DLC fighters coming. That's like the only thing I could think of. But you know, I thought it was interesting. I think it would have been really cool if how, you know, the Pokemon anniversary is kind of coming out with, you know, Katy Perry music, Post Malone, they're having like a whole soundtrack come out. If there had been multiple artists involved with this rather than, you know, just Post Malone the entire time, that's probably just me being greedy, but I thought it was interesting.
Well, so I was watching it on, I watched it on Twitch. And there were a lot of people upset that it was not longer, and which those people are always going to show up to these things. But like, so here's the thing: it's available. You can go to the Pokemon YouTube channel to watch it if you have missed it. But like you said, I was shocked at how much I actually enjoyed it. Not that I didn't think I was not going to like it. It was very different from the virtual concert that they held just a couple months ago or whatever. And so it was more like an animated music video. And in that sense, I thought taking out the fact that Post Malone looked like he was made out of Play-Doh, I thought it was fun. It was a fun little thing to do. I would have maybe paired it with an announcement or something or some kind of news just to, I think, help maybe drive a bit more tune in. But it just felt like, I mean, like it was 20 minutes. The Pokemon Direct was 20 minutes. And so, you know, from a length standpoint, it is what it is. But, wasn't that bad.
Yeah. I do wonder if we're going to get more of these. I mean, we know that Katy Perry did multiple songs.
They're putting out an album.
Yeah, it's 15 mm-hmm. songs and four of them are new. The other 11 are probably covers. I'm willing to bet that we'll get another virtual concert of some kind. You know, I personally think it was great for what it was. I didn't want to see it with another announcement because, you know, for one thing, the timing was off about it. I don't want to spend my Saturday night, trying to find out, you know, having to sit through a 20-minute Post Malone concert to find out there's going to be a Pokemon news announcement. That's, and I feel that a lot of people would feel that way. Yeah. Like, I enjoyed watching it, like, on Sunday morning. But yeah, if I would have had to do that on Saturday night and had to sit there for a news announcement that I was covering, I would have been mad. So I got to enjoy it for what it was. I think that, it was successful for them. They got a lot of people talking about it. You know, people were already talking about Pokemon Day all day and, you know, that kept the momentum up into the evening. There was like a weirdness factor to it. Like, yeah, you know, Post Malone looked weird as hell. It was definitely goofy, listening to him sing, he sang his songs. Like, they picked out some of the more toned down stuff, but he was still referencing some, let's just say, adult themes. And they let him do it, at least here in the United States. It was really hilarious, like, watching him sing about that while, like, Lugia flew overhead. It's like, oh, okay, TPC, let's do that. And, like, you know, it was weird. And I think that was the point. I think mm-hmm. that the Pokemon Company knew exactly what they were doing. I think it, you know, like, people like me got a good laugh out of it. Like, people who unironically enjoy Post Malone, I'm sure enjoyed it. But I think it really did a good job. I can't think of anything else to say about it. Like, I was freaking, yeah. I got a good 15 minute laugh.
It was a cool, sorry, excuse me. It was a cool thing to see in general, right? Just kind of for Pokemon Day. I followed a lot of the, kind of like just other stuff that some of the big, Pokemon, personalities were doing. Right. So, you know, we'd be remiss not to mention the gigantic, unboxing that Logan Paul had that night, where he pulled not one, but I think two Charizards out of that box.
Oh man, so, I didn't even know. I blocked all of his keywords.
I caught the first one he got. And that was pretty. I mean, look, anytime someone pulls a first edition Charizard out of a box, fresh out of a pack, you know, the thing is 20 plus years old, it's still a very cool moment, regardless of who does it, right? And so, but he pulled a number of really, really nice cards and pulled out a lot of duds. There was a stretch. I think he pulled like three or four, imposter Dr. Oaks almost in a row. Like, it was just like, oh God, like, where he legitimately felt bad for the folks who obviously, you know, paid a insane amount of money to get that. So, So I thought that was funny. I saw, you know, there were a number of folks, you know, streamers. Reversal is a big Pokemon Go streamer, and he had a lot of fun with his crew. Just they were shiny hunting for some of the legendaries and raids, and he's always a great one to follow. Leon Hart did some stuff, and so there was a lot of like fun stuff happening in the realm, and not to mention. Everyone at comicbook.com who loved Pokemon put together a really cool piece of just like, all, you know, shouting out all of our all of our favorite spinoff games. So naturally, mm-hmm. I got a plug-in for Pokemon Duel, of course. And then, you know, like Christian had a great story about just like, you know, what what Pokemon kind of means to him as a fan and you know, how generational it is. And so there was a lot of fun stuff all around on Pokemon Day. And that's the kind of stuff I love to see around things like this. Now we just need to wait another 5 years to do it again for the 30th.
Yeah. Well,
exactly.
I think that, you know, I definitely think, and this kind of ties into Game Freak's and the Pokemon Company's plan for 2021, I definitely think that we're starting to, it's never like the Pokemon Company has not been afraid to, you know, maximize nostalgia for,
yeah,
you know,
of course.
They ring it out for all it's worth. But I think that this year and with the, you know, this year in particular with new Pokemon Snap and Brilliant Diamond, Shining Pearl coming, they are definitely going to keep people reminiscing about mm-hmm. their favorite Pokemon stuff, and I think that is a I think that's deliberate, and it's kind of all building mm-hmm. up to something really new.
What I thought was interesting is if you obviously follow the official Pokemon social channels, you know. During Pokemon Day and that kind of weekend, they did a bunch of like countdowns. They were like, you know, it's 1999 and this is your favorite, blah, blah, blah. And it was a very interesting thing. And it always ended with the phrase of like, you had to be there to experience it, mm-hmm. Which I thought was so cool because my timeline was full of people, you know, every time the Pokemon Company posted that, they were like, yeah, I remember when I was in like fifth grade, second grade, you know, coming home, watching Pokemon on, you know, WB TV or, you know, whatever they were doing. And it was such a nice kind of like nostalgia boost. It kind of just really nicely put everyone in the Pokemon community back together, despite, you know, being, you know, isolated and separate yep. with quarantine and COVID. So that was nice. It felt kind of warm and mushy, which I appreciated.
One of my favorite ones that I saw, a friend of mine had posted the infamous truck from Red and Blue that, you know, at the time everyone believed is where you would get Mew from, and just like posted a screenshot of that and just was like, you had to be there kind of thing. And I was just like, yeah, you sure did. Because I remember that damn thing.
I was kind of thinking about that, and you know, one of the things that has kind of disappointed me with the release, you know, when they came out with Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee, is that they didn't do something with that.
Oh, you know, that would have been amazing. Yeah, that's true.
Like, you know, I do think that at least a little bit of it is like I don't know, but yeah. I'm curious whether
riding up and down the left coast of Cinnabar Island to try and to find try a missing note.
No. you know, I wonder how much of that is unique to like English speaking you know,
versions of the game.
Okay, mm-hmm. You know, hang on really quick. You know, Hoffer only disappointed with one thing about Pokemon. What the hell is that? Like, I'm sorry, dude. Like, you are full of it. Like, I thought that the Pokemon Day things were great, and you know, I'm sorry. That is just character defamation right there. You know, I'm not even disappointed by anything.
Oh, yeah, it's no different than when we start talking about Pokemon cards and you accuse me of selling.
Jim, we have freaking proof. We have proof. Your own words. There's a big difference between you sharing anecdotes about your time, like, you know, swindling grandmas, and you know.
Well, that's true. Fair. All right. Well, let's take a quick break and let's talk about the big Kahuna news. We're going to talk about the Diamond and Pearl remakes and Legends, because I definitely have some thoughts. I know you guys have some thoughts, and I'm going to go grab a pack of Shining Fates, and maybe we'll unbox a we'll break a pack of Shining Fates and see if we get anything else. If you were here last week, you saw we got the secret rare Eternatus V card, which was pretty freaking cool. Let's see if we get that Shining Charizard, which is a shiny card.
I am glad that you sleeved that, by the way. I was kind of like
you were worried. Yeah, I stuck it under my laptop, and I needed it to. It was a little unbalanced. I folded it in half just to make sure it didn't wiggle anymore. No, we'll do all of that when we get back in 60 seconds. Okay, here we go. Well, I'll let you guys pick. Do you want to talk about Diamond and Pearl first? Or do you want to talk about Legends first? Chat, what do you want to talk about? We'll let you chime in here too. Christian, Megan, what do you guys want?
I gotta say Diamond and Pearl. But
I was gonna say, let's might as well just go in order.
Okay, fair enough.
So let's set the stage. The time was 3:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and I had woken up due to the fact that I have a 9-month-old who is teething. As I went downstairs, made a bottle to soothe the cranky baby, I went and checked out my online sources, and lo and behold, someone had leaked the Pokemon Direct news. And that is what started off my Friday. I was up from 3:30. Like, after I got that kid down, I immediately came up to my computer and wrote up our news articles. And that is what I did on Friday. I had those things fully written by the time they came out. But yeah, we Sinnoh remakes confirmed.
Yeah,
they are coming. The demand and the wish has been met.
Made by a third party.
The first time that a main series Pokemon game has been developed by a third party, which is huge.
That's a big deal.
I do not think that enough people were making a big deal about that, to be honest. I think that means that some of the innovation of any future remakes or any games made by third party publishers, because since it was made by a third party publisher, it's not using the Sword and Shield engine at all. So, it looks like, it's definitely a chibi style animation. It reminded me a lot of the Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening game that came out for the Switch. Like everything about it reminded me a lot of that, because, that was a pretty faithful remake of those games with a couple of things like added on and optimized and stuff like that. And I have a feeling. Brilliant.
Well, they look like Nendroids too, is what I thought they looked like.
Yeah,
I can see that. Yeah,
like Nendroids meet Link's Awakening with like the kind of perspective that you got, like of showing the POV from the trailers.
I don't play those Zelda games; they're trash.
Okay, well, see, I'm just not even going to address that because I literally have Link's Sword and Shield mounted on a wall in my house.
Yeah, so I'm
moving on.
I'm pretty sure that, Jim is just, if ever there was proof that Jim was wrong about everything,
That's real.
Someone clipped that as Jim's.
All right, I take it back. I don't want bad shiny luck when we come to open cards. So I still feel it, though, in my heart.
All I know is watching the trailer, everyone was like, Sinnoh remake confirmed. And then within 3 seconds, as soon as they saw the artwork, Pokemon fan, and they were just like, how dare they do this to the art style? They look like Playmobil toys. Like, not that Playmobil toys are bad. I will just state that. But people are just like freaking out. They're so angry. And it's like, guys, it looks pretty good. It looks super faithful. Like, I don't know what's happening here with this discourse.
Yeah.
But
I think it is more faithful than like the Let's Go games. Like, everyone last week, you weren't on the episode, but everyone on the episode in the chats were yelling at us, at me and Jim, for going, we'd be okay if they made out another Let's Go game. And like, but we come from the perspective of it's great for our kids, but we didn't get that. It's a full on Pokemon game. I really hope I said, my first thought when they were like, this is a faithful recreation of Pokemon Diamond and Pearl. And I was like, I really hope it's not that faithful, because that storyline is a slog. You know, so let's hope that, you know, they did some updates, you know, to reflect the modern times of, you know, the game. You know, we're getting full battle style from Pokemon Sword and Shield. Mm-hmm. I like the fact that they brought back the grid style. You know, I'm not a big fan of the fact that they're, you know, we're not getting overworld Pokemon and we're going to full on random again. You know, I feel like that is an innovation that should stick around. I get it. If it's a faithful recreation, there weren't overworld Pokemon running about and, you know, Diamond and Pearl. So, you know, so be it. You know, but I'm assuming that, you know, we're going to get everything. But, you know, on the plus side, if they throw in some Platinum stuff, where I think, you know, that means we'll get a Battle Frontier, which people have been begging for forever. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think people will be thrilled about that if we get that. But yeah, no, I thought that, you know, they knew exactly what they were doing. I think it was a good move to outsource that to a third party. Mm-hmm. You know, people want Sinnoh remakes, give them Sinnoh remakes. Game Freak doesn't need to be the ones who make those. You know, they obviously had bigger things to do.
They're like, you want Sinnoh? We will give you Sinnoh.
Yeah.
We will give you so much Sinnoh.
But do we think they're going to add anything to it?
So let's talk about that. I think that we don't know a lot about these new games, but there's two little bits that we do know about. One, the game seems to be, while it's the remakes of, you know, Diamond and Pearl, they do seem to be incorporating some Platinum content. There are, you know, if you take a look at some of the screenshots, some of the NPCs that pop up in certain areas, those come from Platinum and not Diamond and Pearl. So, you know, I think there's that. The other thing is that they are beginning the cycle of Diamond and Pearl merchandise, which, you know, this was one of the reasons why everyone was like, yeah, Diamond and Pearl are coming soon. And I think, you know, Mega Evolution will be added into the game because Mega Charizard and Mega Lucario are both getting product in the lead up to Diamond and Pearl, these Diamond and Pearl remakes. So I think that is, you know, I think we'll be getting some new content. Let's see here. Do you think the online VGC will remain in Sword and Shield? I do.
This won't connect in any way to Sword and Shield, right? We don't know because I think, yeah, like they didn't necessarily say, but I can't imagine.
The big belief is that there, if this is as faithful of a recreation, you know, then there wouldn't be connectivity to it. You know, it really just depends. Like, you know, like, is this going to be kind of like the Pokemon Let's Go games, in which, like, you can't, you know, you might be able to transfer Pokemon from, let's say, Pokemon Go into these games, and then, but you can't transfer Pokemon from other games like Sword and Shield into it. Yeah. You know, there really is, because, you know, it just depends, like, how faithful of a Gen 4 remake, you know, are they using updated Pokemon stats? Because some Pokemon stats have changed from Gen 4, mm-hmm. to the present day.
Do you think there will be home connectivity in any way?
Yeah, there'll be home connectivity. I'm pretty, well, for one thing, the company that made this,
Made home.
So yeah, right. Absolutely. Yeah. I'm not worried about that. There are other things that, you know, I kind of wonder about. Like I said, I do not think that, you know, the online competitions, the VGC, will be switching over to Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl. I'll be shocked. I'll be just shocked if that's the case. I don't know. I'm just looking at people asking questions. You know, like I said, they did say that there were things that this game does have some modern features. So I do think that we will get some of that stuff. I don't think we'll see any new Mega Evolution. I don't think we'll see anything like new in terms of like new Pokemon. This will not be like Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon, in which they added like three or four new Pokemon. I think that if they add a new Pokemon, the only new Pokemon that we will get will be whatever the 2021 mythical Pokemon is.
Yeah,
because, you know, the last one was Zarude. They have a tendency of releasing one of those per year. So timing wise, we will either get that for this game, or they might not do one for 2021 and save it for the other game that got announced last week, which we can.
Yeah.
talk about.
What a great transition, Christian.
You're welcome. You're
Let's
welcome.
Talk about it. Let's talk
it's
about.
Like you, it's like he's Let's a talk podcast about, host.
Let's talk about Pokemon Legends Breath of the Wild.
Well, you know, no. If that's the case,
that doesn't exist.
I'd be 100% okay with that, Jim. Like you laugh, but you know, like that is the Pokemon game that so many Pokemon fans have wanted for so long. So I think that's great.
Here's my caveat to this, because I will say, because like I, the idea behind this is great. I just hate the region is really my issue.
Oh. Yeah, you know, Sinnoh, I like the idea of Sinnoh more than I actually like Sinnoh. I'll be 100% on. I'm not in full disagreement with you. I liked Pokemon Platinum. I liked Pokemon Platinum. I did not like Pokemon Diamond and Pearl when I played through them. Like, you know, mm-hmm. You know, Soul Silver and Heart Gold were such a superior game to those games. You know, so that's basically what my you know, so but I think that this might address that, because if it's open world, we could get, you know, it could solve a lot of the problems. And this is a more primitive Sinnoh region, you know, this is set in the past. So, you know, I think, because I like the general gist of the region, like Mount Coronet is pretty cool. Some of the geographic features they have in the Sinnoh region are pretty awesome. But you know, I just wasn't the biggest fan of the storyline of Pearl, Diamond and Pearl, and I feel like how the game was structured sucked.
I think it'll be interesting. I think, like, for me, if they were going to do a history kind of game, right, like a back in time / Pokemon prequel, basically, like I would have liked it in Johto, but that's more of a nostalgic thing for me than I think. Not Johto, Kanto.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking, but I think Sinnoh does have a lot to offer. I agree with everything with the story, but obviously that will hopefully become a non-issue with Pokemon Legends.
So for folks who may not have necessarily caught the announcement, there is a new game coming out, Pokemon Legends Arceus or whatever. And this is a open world game in the style of something like Breath of the Wild for the Switch. That is for all intents and purposes, a Pokemon prequel, right? Like, it's so much so that we're getting wood Pokeballs, which like, the idea of Pokeballs is such a advanced concept already, that the fact that like we're calling wood ones, like, you know, prehistoric, basically, like, just kind of blows my mind.
So here's a fun fact about the wooden Pokeballs, because this was a little detail that I loved. So, you know, the first Pokeballs in Pokemon canon were invented, I believe, somewhere between 400 and 800 years ago. And prior to that, people used out the hollowed out apricorns that we saw in the Johto games. The wooden Pokeballs that we see there firmly fits within the timeline of that previously established lore. You know, if this is, you know, if Yudo Sinnoh is the equivalent to feudal Japan, then the timeline works. Like, so I think it's, you know, I think that's kind of, you know, I think that's great. Like, I love everything about this game. I'll be 100% honest. Everything we've heard so far, I think it's brilliant. I like the fact that the game revolves around, you know, basically building the first Pokedex of the Sinnoh region. I think that's fantastic. Yeah. I love the fact that they are bringing in starters from other regions, so you get a chance to get all the Sinnoh starters, because that makes sense, because those Pokemon are Sinnoh Pokemon, and if you're building the first Pokedex, you need all three of them. So, like, I absolutely love that we are getting, you know, they're good. They're solid choices that make sense with the theme of it. Like, Rowlet is an assassin. You know, he evolves into an assassin. Oshawa evolves into a freaking samurai. His, you know, and, you know, then there's Cyndaquil, which is just an all around cool Pokemon. You know, but, you know, like, I love Cyndaquil. Like, Cyndaquil,
who's basically Cyndaquil, just the coolest of them all.
I will just go ahead and say Cyndaquil will be my starter when this game is here.
I will probably get Rowlet, but it's just one of those ones where I want all three. Like, you know, I think that, you know, so I love the idea. I love the fact that, you know, we're not getting a transition. Like, you know, that's the other thing. When they say open world, you know, we aren't switching to a battle screen. Like, you sneak up on Pokemon, you try to capture them, if you don't have your Pokemon out and the Pokemon chases, you know, the Pokemon will chase after you instead. You have a health bar. You can get hurt by Pokemon. It is everything that people have always kind of suspected, but they've never shown in a Pokemon game. That is great.
This is my favorite thing.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, my favorite thing was that I saw, like, there was, like, a viral tweet, and it was, like, the fact that you can, like, attack and dodge roll in this game means that Pokemon will be coming after you. Like, terrifying, like, open, like, when Sword and Shield first came out, there were all those, like, you know, the promos of, like, Machamp, like, chasing you in the wild area. Now Machamp will not only chase you, but probably put you in a sleeper hold and, like, knock you out. So this is going to be very interesting.
There is a good question in the chat that we don't necessarily have the answer for, but it brings up a good point from Zen underscore PY. Are we getting multiple Legend games? Is this a series? I can 100% see them turn this into a series. I think the big question I have is, though, is how does this, the building of the Sinnoh Pokedex or whatever, tie into everything that we know about Pokemon researchers, the professors, and they're in the regions and whatever. We may not get that far, but I'm curious to see if what ties we have there, to see if that also, you know, potentially opens up, like, are there concurrent Legends research projects happening at the same time that could be very interesting.
Yeah, no, I think that I think that this is definitely the first game and what they hope will turn into a very successful series for them. I think that it will be dependent on sales. Here's the thing, like, you know, I am kind of curious, and there will always be traditional main series Pokemon games.
Yep.
Okay, but, you know, the innovations that have been made, you know, especially from basically Gen 6 on, the big innovations that have been made have been adding temporary, like, buffs in a different, that's basically what it's been. Temporary buffs and some, like, you know, a couple of different kinds of battle styles back in Gen 6. You know, they haven't really tweaked with the whole, like, oh, you know, like, because, like, Gen 2 was like, okay, we have, you know, Pokemon's breed now, then we got, like, abilities, and we got hidden abilities, and we got all this sort of stuff that, like, build out the complexity of the Pokemon RPG and the battle mechanics and stuff like that. And then it was like, okay, now your Pokemon can make evolve. Okay, now your Pokemon can do a superpowered Z move. Okay, now your Pokemon can Dynamax / Gigantamax, which does something, you know, similar to Mega Evolution, but anyone can do it, and, you know, the mechanic is a little bit different in how it works in battles. And so, you know, I felt like, and I enjoyed all three of those. I loved Mega Evolution. Z moves were okay. Loved Dynamax and Gigantamax, but they were basically all variations of the same sort of thing. And so I kind of wondered, what else could they do? And, you know, I kind of think that maybe Game Freak had the same thought. And the answer was, you know what? Let's do something entirely different. You know, and that's what they ended up doing. You know, the battles take place in real time. Moves are determined by energy cost instead of, and that's how often you do moves. You know, the catching mechanic is totally different. And in a different way than the Let's Go games. You know, lots of big groundbreaking changes. Like, the regions are actually going to feel like regions now, like actual, like, yeah, let's explore, like, a part of Japan, as opposed to, okay, here is a very condensed version of a region, which even, like, you know, Sword and Shield, with the exception of the wild area, felt like, you know, that's the thing. It's like, you know, like, even the wild area was like, okay, this is, like, you know, the size of Central Park.
I mean, look, I think also, too, the thing that we also didn't mention, the fact that this style of game is so vastly different, and so much more appealing for a lot of people who may not have necessarily gotten into Pokemon because they don't like the standard kind of JRPG stop and battle, you know, alternating moves kind of thing. And so this has the potential to really bring a lot of new fans in with a style of gameplay that may be more similar to something that they already have experienced, to a franchise that they've heard about for 25 years, but it never necessarily wanted to make the full jump into the pool for. And I think that's a very interesting thing for the Pokemon company to do at this point.
I think you're half right. I think this will bring in people who have not played Pokemon games in a while. I don't think it's going to bring anybody who's like, I've never played Pokemon before, but this one is what's really going to get me. What it's going to get is
literally had a text message like that when it got announced. I've never played Pokemon before. I love your love of Pokemon. This may be the game that gets me in.
Like I don't think that is who it's geared towards though. I think it'll get somebody. It's kind of like, you know, whenever they make a good Assassin's Creed game, people are going to jump into that franchise and then they have to suffer through the three or four bad games until
there has not been a good one since two. Okay,
Valhalla is actually. I've been watching my wife.
To be fair, I haven't played Valhalla, and I've wanted to try it. I just haven't had the chance. I have not enjoyed an Assassin's Creed game since two.
Yeah. But anyways, what I think it's going to appeal to are people who played the Pokemon games as kids, and then felt like the franchise has, you know, they've outaged the franchise. I think that's really what this game appeals to. In fact, it's really weird because I pitched an article about basically this very thing, and then like they announced Legends, and I was like, oh, I gotta make some changes to this before it goes live. But you know, I think that's who it's going to get is people who play the Pokemon games as kids, but are now into stuff like Assassin's Creed, like Breath of the Wild, stuff like that. You know, they don't like how the Pokemon games are structured currently. That is who it's going to get. You know, and also, I think that it is a good thing that we are getting some variety, you know, because I think that's the other problem. I think that a lot of people, you know, the big complaints about Sword and Shield and stuff like that, you know, there was a couple consistent complaints, but I think that a lot of that would have been solved by, you know, offering up a much needed change to the formula. And, you know, but yeah, that's kind of, like I said, I think this is
an interesting, it's an interesting experiment. I'm very curious to see how it plays out. But also too, like, do you think they'll have all the Pokemon in it?
No.
Well, no, absolutely not.
No.
And I'm shocked.
That is one.
Not even all the Sinnoh Pokemon?
I think it'll have all.
I would say probably.
Can't make a Pokedex if not all the Pokemon are there.
That's a good point.
I think it'll have all the Sinnoh Pokemon, but I mean, I think if you're wanting like to have a, you know, be able to transfer the whole, you know, living Dex to the game, I don't think that's going to be a situation.
Oh yeah, no, I don't think you get that. But what, there were like 80 or so Pokemon, Sinnoh Pokemon?
There was 128, but a lot of them were either pre-evolutions, either pre-baby Pokemon or evolved Pokemon. There were not that many like new lines of Pokemon. Some of the things that I am curious about is transferring Pokemon in. I'm curious how this game will interact with, you know, I'm assuming that the Pokemon stats will remain pretty much unchanged, but like, you know, I am curious, like, can I bring in like my Bulbasaur?
I don't think they're going to let you do that. I think this game is going to live in its own bubble in that way. I think this is an adventure game that lives in its bubble that has the Pokemon that you want in it. And I honestly would be more surprised if it connects to the wider ecosystem of Pokemon. Then it not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, I think that there's no guarantees other than when you're done with this game, you can move your Pokemon into Pokemon Home.
Yeah. There was a question about like, you know, the, like what constitutes a Pokemon battle? And, you know, and so, you know, a battle as we know it obviously is and then it's bug catcher, you know, Jake wants to fight you or whatever, like, or, you know, a wild whatever has appeared. We're clearly not getting that, right? But that, you know, doesn't necessarily mean it's not a battle, right? Because it just in the trailer that we saw, you know, we saw a Pokemon battle happening just kind of right there. It was a Pokemon that was a partner of your player character that was fighting whatever Pokemon that was in the wild. And I think it has the same, I think it'll have a very similar feel to the regular, like, you know, back and forth. It just will happen a lot more real time. And, you know, it's, it's a nice, I think it will be an interesting style of gameplay that will definitely change, because there's no, a lot of the meta is taken out in that, right? Right. Like you can't, like, can you poison or are there, like, you know,
of course you can.
You can do poison, but you can't set up things that like you would normally do if you were, you know, in a regular battle.
See, I do not think, you know, depending. So from what I understand, and, you know, we got some different information that what, you know, people over in, you know, like Japan got, but mm-hmm. from what I understand, how, you know, while the battles will be in real time, you know, move strength and, like, you know, frequency of move will be dependent on energy costs, you know? Sure. So, you know, so paralyzed means maybe you can't do moves for a certain amount of time. You know, I think mm-hmm. they'll tweak what, you know, yeah. different conditions can do, but I don't think this will be like Pokemon Go where they totally strip that stuff out. Right. You know,
can't use Sandstorm.
You know, like I think this is why, you know, this is what Game Freak has been working on since, you know, probably 2018, 2019. Yeah. I mean, because, mm-hmm. you know, they, you know, probably 2019. Let's, you know, let's assume that because Pokemon Sword and Shield came out in Pokemon end of 2019. At some point in time when that hit, like, the post-production localization stage, they shifted gears. You know, they will have been working on this for, like, almost 3 years.
I mean, I remember, when we started this show, like, we talked about news that Game Freak had started basically another, like, broke off a development division to mm-hmm. work on another game, and now we know what it was. It was probably this. If anything. And so I'm excited for it. I'll joke about it until the day it comes out, and even when it comes out, about it being basically Pokemon Zelda, but that's fine. I'm still gonna play it.
Hey, Breath of the Wild was amazingly good and reviewed.
Look, the only reason, like, and so thing,
that,
like, I thought
that happens for Pokemon. I mean,
yeah, sure, I thought Breath of the Wild looked like a great game. I just have zero affinity for that franchise as a whole. And so, like, even trying to go into it, I just didn't care. And I didn't, you know, and I, it's, it, the time investment from the beginning, and I know that it's probably going to be something similar here. With a Pokemon game, you know what you're going to get. You're going to go on the rails, going to go all the way, you know, go all around the map, and then boom, you're done in, you know, X amount of hours. But, like, it's a start-stop process that you can jump in and jump out of, as you want, as more of a casual player. And so when I remember when hearing news about Breath of the Wild, I was like, it's going to be hundreds of hours. And I'm like, I don't have hundreds of hours, right? Like, I don't, for a game that I may or may not like, I don't know if that's the investment I want. For this, I'm definitely going to give it a shot. So we'll see. But yeah, there's a lot of chat, folks saying that, you know, fans are afraid of change and don't like change or whatever. Like, look, I love this kind of jump for Game Freak to make. I can only imagine. That was an unfair statement, but being someone at Game Freak and kind of making the same game over and over just with better graphics kind of thing, like this. It feels like a nice change of pace that I'm curious. Like, because that's the other thing, too. Like, how does Arceus fit into all this, right? Like, how do you bring something like that in a game that feels so prehistoric?
I mean, okay, let's get a couple things. This is not a prehistoric game. Like, you know.
I think everyone has gotten, so, like, Pokemon has felt like a world on the bleeding edge of technology kind of thing, right?
So Arceus is literally the Pokemon that created the Pokemon universe. If there was any sort of Pokemon, like, you know, high-level Pokemon that's ever belonged in a game set in Pokemon's past, it is this one.
Like, but this truly feels like steampunk Pokemon in a way that, like, the Galar region only looked it.
No, that I'm okay with that. Like, that's great. let's get two things. One, all right, it has always been kind of weird that, you know, the Pokemon franchise has been like, oh yeah, we have teleporting, we have energy to matter, you know, and no sort of context for that whatsoever. The Pokemon franchise is kind of a sci-fi franchise we just don't talk about because it's about cute animals trying to kill each other.
Accurate.
So yeah, let's go and find it. And also, let's be realistic here. Like, oh, it's like, oh yeah, this is on the bleeding edge of technology. Also, here is a freaking owl that can produce an unlimited amount of razor feathers made of grass that it flings at people to grievously wound but not kill them. You know,
yes.
So with all of that in there, like, yeah, let's go and find out a little bit more about some of this weird stuff that has always been part of the Pokemon world that we don't talk about. Like, well, I want to talk about it.
But so that's going to be a thing. And that's basically the premise of the story that you wrote, right? Like, mm-hmm. we have been going through Pokemon facts that are in the Pokedex for 95 weeks now. And they are all, not all, 95% of them are weird and horrifying. And yeah. the only way to get that information is through the research that you are now about to do in Sinnoh. And so that part, I think, is like, look, expanding the lore in that way is going to be a lot of fun to explore. But I think AbsolFan17 is like, come on, catching Arceus can't be possible. Yeah, I don't think anyone's catching Arceus here. I think we will see Arceus, and Arceus will communicate to us, or will do things, like he will do things, but he will then fly away doing Pokemon God things that we, exactly. you know, that will happen.
Yeah, exactly. Like, all right, well, here's the thing. It could be like, you know, Arceus wants to like learn about humanity or some stuff like that. That's how it's going to be. You know, for God's sake, in the anime, how are we actually talking about this? Like, how can somebody with a wooden Pokeball catch Arceus? We had freaking Go get a
I knew we were going to go there.
Like, I mean, like, come on, guys. Like, you can't tick knocks on one thing while we have an anime that establishes, like, sure. yeah, no, there's no standards here for legendary Pokemon catches. If Go can freaking, you know, get a Suicune by like feeding him berries, anything is freaking possible.
Okay. So here's the thing, and this was one of the first things that I thought about, and only because I have not played Breath of the Wild. I don't know if this is a thing. Breath of the Wild is solely a single player game, right? Like, this is not a thing where someone can drop in on your game and play along with you as like a second player or whatever, right? That doesn't mm-hmm. exist.
No. This is also a single player game. Confirmed this is a single player action right. RPG.
So this would have been, I would have loved for this to be like Pokemon meets like Valheim, basically, where like you can have someone else jump in with you and like do your thing. Where like it doesn't necessarily, like if someone wants to jump in with you, it doesn't necessarily, like it doesn't obviously doesn't affect their game, but anything you do on yours, you know, as far as progression in the game goes or whatever, maybe like if there was a wild area or something that, you know, you and a friend could do that, I think to me would really, like, that would make it almost the perfect game, right? Because that's kind of that MMO
type of
functionality that I've been like looking for in a game.
You've been wanting that Pokemon MMO, and you know what? This could be the gateway to that. You know, I think that with the introduction of Pokemon Legends, because, you know, let's be real, we would never have gotten an MMO before an open world RPG. You know,
sure.
like, you know, absolutely. They, you know, this proves that, you know, that the next model, the MMO model that you talk about is certainly possible. So, you know, I think that this was a necessary step into diversifying what sort of games, you know, are part of the Pokemon franchise. Like, I think that's, you know, the reality is this was a necessary and natural step for the Pokemon franchise. This is truly an evolution of Pokemon.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and like I said, that's more of a personal opinion thing for me. I like playing games with other people. It's just even in some of the other games I play, I never play the campaign of first person shooters. I never the Assassin's Creed style games, like I have fallen less and less out of, just because like, I just don't like playing by myself, which is just, I guess, a me thing than anything else. But, like, it's why I play, like, yeah, because this thing, it's like, you know, I'll play Overwatch or Fortnite or even Warzone just because like my brother-in-law will be on, or my sister will be on, or some friends will hop on. And like, I like the communal aspect to video games. And it's why, like, you know, I like that we do this show, because, you know, we're all not playing together, but we're all talking about the same thing that we love, and we all have our opinions on it. And that's what it is. But it's just, it's just one of those things that, like, that's just, it's the one thing that I wish we could get out of Pokemon, and then like, that's it, mindset. All right, but we are running out of time. So Christian, let's get the Pokemon fact of the week.
Okay, so two things. You know, Flareon is one of those other Pokemon where they only have one real Pokemon fact. So we'll get to that here in a second. But, you know, is the Flareon's Japanese name cracks me up. Now, all the Eevee evolutions have, like, goofy Japanese names, but Flareon's name is Booster.
Oh, that's
it's
awesome.
Because it's Booster Fuel. It's basically just, you know, that's yeah. that's what its name. And it just cracks me up. I think it's like the silliest thing. If you get a chance and you have not, you know, you're not aware of what the Eevee Evolution's Japanese names are, do yourself a favor and look them up. I won't get into all of them, but like they're I mean, and they are actual, like, it is not like the Japanese word for Booster. His Japanese name is literally Booster. That is how.
Awesome. Yeah.
So, you know, and the funny thing is like, oh, it's like Flareon's like internal temperature. This gets into like the weird sciencey Pokemon stuff. You know, Flareon's like internal temperature is like 1650 degrees Fahrenheit or something stupid like that.
Jeez.
Like he can shoot out flames. Like, this is what crack. I went and looked this up because I was like, okay, how hot is this? Like, are they just like making stuff up? It's body temperature tops 1650 degrees Fahrenheit before battle, you know, when it's flame sack. But the, you know, the fire it shoots out, like after, you know, after the fire shoots out is nearly 3000 degrees Fahrenheit, which, you know, is capable of, that is basically the upper level of, what, you know, like the carbon stuff that, you know, is made to be like you stick on spaceships for, you know, to withstand, like, you know, flying off into space. That's like the top level of that. So, yeah, like, you know, Flareon can basically melt anything that humans can produce, but apparently yeah. can be stored in a, you know, a wooden Pokeball.
You know what? Pokeballs are magical and miraculous things.
So next week we'll get into you know, we'll get out of the, you know, we went on our Eeveelution side trip, you know, because, you know, Vaporeon is a legitimately cool Pokemon and is also Megan's accurate. Favorite. But then we accurate. Had to do Flareon and Jolteon too, which are not nearly as cool.
Look, if I had to rank them though, it's Vaporeon, Flareon, Jolteon.
Easy. Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely.
Accurate.
Yeah.
But to me, I like Flareon's design a little bit more, but I agree that Flareon, Vaporeon is easily the better of them.
Do you guys remember in like the early days of Pokemon Go where it's like having a Vaporeon made you God?
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, you know, look, like,
it still makes you God.
When I first was playing Pokemon Go, because obviously I immediately started going for Vaporeon when I started playing, so I was on the beginning of that trend. I was like a god. Whenever I went anywhere,
look, it's still a clutch player.
It still is clutch. I mean, it's not as clutch, but man, sure. I had so many Vaporeon just sitting in gyms around Nashville, and no one could take me down. It was great.
It's like, you know, basically I would just show up at a Pokemon Go gym, pull out my Vaporeon and water gun.
That is actually an accurate representation of what I was doing. So
love it. All right. Before we go, two things. One, we're going to do a Shining Fates pack on things. So I have to change my camera really quick because the last time we did this, we figured out the correct way to do it because my new webcam is just being what it is. So hello everyone from a different angle. Okay. So I have it. I pre-opened this one. I have not looked at it. I just opened it. So you didn't hear the and I have to fight with it. So here we go.
Jim, before we get going, you have been on point with the sound effects during this episode.
Very much.
Just gonna toss that one out there.
All right, here we go. So fighting energy.
Mm-hmm. Not shiny.
This is right in front of me, so I can't. Oh,
not
I can't
shiny.
Really
still not
shiny. Rotom.
Still not shiny.
But
yeah, Bizarre. I like that. I like that art. Not shiny.
Spinarak.
Not shiny.
But I think reverse holo. Oh, nope, just
nope,
flat.
Nope. Here's the reverse holo, and it's
Nickit. Looks like a holo Galarian Weezer.
I don't think that's a shiny.
Nope, not a shiny.
Nope. What a chance, though.
I love it.
All right, let's open
that's
one
what
more.
You Hold get on. For making fun of Breath of the Wild, Jim.
Let's open one more. Hold on.
Yeah, seriously, that is the spirit.
That is
the
your confidence.
That is the spirit terrible. Of the Triforce coming go. In.
All right. Water energy, Luxio, not shiny. Dartrix. Nice, pretty cool. Nice
art.
Pretty
I like
cool
card. Art, yeah. Another Rusted Shield for that Zamazenta that you'll Nicket. Never get. Gossifleur. Okay.
Not shiny. Kecnia, not shiny. Kufant again.
So cute.
Good lord, oh my another Buzio.
Oh my god.
Gosh. Wow. Boss's orders.
Wow. Man. Once again, listen, when it comes to gem opening Pokemon cards, I know my Hold stuff.
I have two more here. I'm just going to go through them right now.
It's just a pathway to disappointment, friends.
Oh, good lord. Here we go.
Jim won't let this stand.
Oh, I think I saw something cool at the back of this. Thwacky. Okay.
So nice.
Yeah. Like the third one we've seen of those. Oh, hey, it's a gym trainer.
Another Nicket.
Literally, third Nicket.
All right. Look, this is a small set.
Another
third Buzio.
Gym trainer reverse.
Oh no. It's not even a shiny.
It's not even a foil.
Please be happy for Celebi.
That's great.
All right.
This pack is. All right, hold on. I have one.
Man, watching Cosmic Retribution.
Hey, we got Rusted Sword now.
Yeah, so for all those legendary Pokemon, he's not getting.
Eldegoss, Spinarak.
Oh, Rowlet. Yeah, okay. More
Pico.
Junk.
Oh, come on! No. Boss's orders yet again. So to recap, for anyone listening who missed out, if you want to watch us do things like this every Monday, 12 Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, two Boss's orders, a non-holo Celebi, and a holo Galarian Weezing.
Yeah.
Well, that was... I mean, compared to the last one we did, that one was a giant letdown.
Yeah, I don't know what I like to see more, Jim. You getting a cool card or you not getting cool cards? I think I love both of them equally. They both make me smile.
Okay, so we're gonna do another thing. First, let me get some of the standard closing remarks out of the way. If you want to find out ways to help the podcast, then definitely please tell all your friends about it. Send them the link, whether it's on Apple, Spotify, iHeartRadio, wherever you can find podcasts, this podcast can be found. 5-star reviews on iTunes go a long, long way. So thank you, folks, who have been reading them. We'll read some next week. Or maybe you know what we'll do? We'll amass a whole bunch of them, and then we'll read them on the 100th episode. That'll be a fun thing. Give people some time. If you want to, like I said, if you are listening to this and you want to get involved on the fun, watch us live on Twitch, twitch.tv/comicbook, every Monday, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. And otherwise you can find me at Jim Viscardi on Twitter, Megan's at Megan Peters CB, and at C Hoffer C Bus. But what we're going to do right now, because I think it's a cool, fun thing for us to do. We have this small audience. Why not share it? We're on Twitch. We're going to go raid a channel just for fun. Found someone who is playing, doing a shiny hunt right now on Sword and Shield. So let's make her feel all of the Wild Podcast has appeared love when we go there. Richard's going to do this for the very first time. We've never done this, so let's see how that goes. Otherwise, until then, folks, we'll catch you next week. Thanks for listening.